podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Donnelly view system, Diogis. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Welcome back to that Chelsea podcast, and a very good evening or good morning when you're listening to this, where Chelsea have just gone to Villa Park, 1-3-1, and arguably put in their best performance since, well, we will get onto that in a bit. Joining me to look back at Harry, without doubt, the happiest night of the season. I can't even get my words out, I'm happy. The happiest night of the season so far, potentially the best performance of the season so far, without a doubt, it's Harrison Burridge from a Chelsea Social. Harrison, how are we doing, my man?
What a difference a few days, mate. I'm fantastic.
Indeed, indeed. After what was just in general a grim 4 or 5 days, and I had the feeling before tonight, but it could just be a totally miserable week and a week where Chelsea season crashes and burns. No, there's still life in the old dog, yeah, or in Chelsea's case, the young dog. One of the youngest average ages, 22.8 or something, I think Lee Park said. Anyway, as always, do guests, I get them to give themselves a plug. So, Harrison, tell people where they can find you and all your stuff.
Personal stuff, find me at HBird2, and then find me also over on the Chelsea Social at the Chelsea Social, which will be in a completely different mood to the days from the Wolves loss. So, come on, join over, we'll have a bit of fun, I reckon, the next couple of days.
Indeed, indeed. All those links will be in the description below. Right, yeah, Chelsea beat Aston Villa 3-1 at Villa Park this evening. It means they secure their place in the fifth round and secure that home tie against Leeds United. Harrison, before we just get on to the performance itself, again, tonight just felt huge. It had kind of just been, I mean, it had been just a miserable, really, yeah, after tonight, had just been a miserable week after what had been before that quite a happy period. It just felt like, again, the Wolves were caving in, and the amount of stuff we were hearing in the media that got leaked, you know, about, you know, supposed training methods, players unhappy, Poch being unhappy. It did just feel like the Wolves were caving in, and I mean, it feels silly to try and guess when a Chelsea manager will go, because, you know, but it did feel that tonight could have been potentially really, really fatal. But Harrison, as it turns out, the cup run continues. And there's more life in Poch yet. There's a lot more life in Poch yet. Well, till Monday. We breathe till Monday. Yeah, tonight was huge, wasn't it? Just to get through in the cup.
Massive. I mean, you kind of touched on it there. It was like a bit of a doomsday scenario coming to this game after the Wolves result. All that stuff just pouring out in the media. You're thinking, I mean, I certainly had no expectations of getting anything for the part tonight, especially when you consider Aston Villa this season and their record at home. But to not only beat Aston Villa in the state Chelsea came into the game, but blow them away, dominate them and be deserving winners by a country mile. I mean, words won't do it justice. I don't think you can really after the kind of go from back-to-back 4 goals defeat to a performance like that. Wow. I mean, you do wonder a bit with the players. You've got yourself up for tonight. Why not the last couple of games? But then that's a wider issue at Chelsea. We probably can park a bit for tonight in the immediate aftermath of that. But, I mean, it's just special to be able to carry on again in the Cup, as you mentioned, because it is one of our routes into Europe. Obviously, there was one where 90 minutes away from the League Cup, but you want to cover as many bases as possible to try and make sure you get into some form of European competition next year. And Chelsea done that and ticked a lot of boxes in the process tonight too.
Yeah, indeed. And this is the FA Cup. Is the more, you know, the more rewarding ones, given that is FA Cup, that is Europa League qualification, whereas the Carabao Cup is Conference League. Yeah, to paraphrase a famous quote, Chelsea is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get next. But Harrison, my immediate thoughts just when watching my game, we'll get into it. That was, without, I mean, I don't even think this is hyperbolic because it's just more just a general reflection of how poor Chelsea have been over the past two seasons. But when I was watching my game, I think that's the best performance we've seen post Madrid under Thomas Tuchel. And I mean, you know, we could probably even go back into the, you know, the second half of that, you know, second season under Tuchel. And it's probably better than quite a few of the performances we did see kind of in that run. But genuinely, it felt, and we're talking about that statement, which I said, I don't think is too hyperbolic because said Chelsea, that was a good Aston Villa side we played today. When we played them off the park, that was some absolute liquid football. I mean, I do think, you know, towards the end we did tire a bit, and of course, in typical Chelsea fashion, we still can't keep a clean sheet. You know, we know we do have to suffer an injury casualty. You know, we can't quite have nice things. But Harrison, genuinely, I mean, yeah. So we'll get into players in a bit, as you know, performance as well. But I genuinely think that's the best performance we've seen as a Chelsea fan since that, you know, heroic defeat in Madrid in that second leg under Thomas Tuchel. That was on it. I can fault any of those starters tonight. They were all on it.
Yeah, I mean you're probably not wrong there. The one against, albeit obviously it was a draw this season, but the one against Man City at home early in the season comes to mind for kind of going toe to toe with one of your top teams in football. But for a kind of, as you touched there, complete performance where you can't fault a single player at all across the whole 90 minutes, there's nothing that comes close, especially in the last 18, 24 months and under kind of Todd Bowley's reign since he kind of took over as owner, really. And I think that's kind of the ludicrous and remarkable thing at the same time about tonight is they've pulled a rabbit out of the hat in the most special way. They've kept themselves in the hat, ironically, as well, for the FA Cup. But at the same time, they've rejuvenated a fan base and the squad looks rejuvenated as well from a point where after last, when this time, well, yeah, like this time last week with Liverpool and then Sunday itself with Wolves, and you're just wondering, where do we actually go next? Where is the next steps? Is it the change that I and others have called for? But now we're in a position where, okay, it's one game, but if the players can apply themselves in this manner going forward in every game, Pochettino nails the tactical setups like he did tonight, because I think he did it, to be fair to him, he did it in the first match against Villa as well. He got the tactical setup spot on against Unai Emery, the 4-4-2 kind of shape out of possession on. Out when they're out of possession with Gallagher and Palmer as the front two pressing worked perfectly. Villa had no time on the ball. They couldn't play out the back, couldn't get it down into Watkins, their main outlet. And it's just fantastic across the board in so many ways tonight.
Yeah, and Harrison, you sort of mentioned, you know, about, you know, go around the in the first leg. Like I said, I think, you know, actually, common thing we've seen, the three performances Chelsea put in against Aston Villa this season have been pretty good. And each performance just has built on the last. It has just got better and better. And it said it did culminate, you know, in a victory tonight, which, you know, is seismic. I don't, you know, I don't think people really should, you know, obviously, you know, don't overplay that, the significance of what it means for Chelsea moving forward. But just in terms of the actual significance of time, this was an Aston Villa side, but were in really good home form. Obviously, Newcastle had gone there recently and won, but Aston Villa at Villa Park is a very difficult place to go. And yeah, Chelsea really were exceptional. Harrison, Chelsea get up and running. It's a lovely, lovely opener that is, you know, got Enzo, Jackson, and Madueke involved, and it's finished off by Conor Gallagher for his first goal of the season. He's finally off the mark. He's been threatening it all season. And Harrison, I mean, tonight was a big night for a lot of players, but I thought for Conor as well. I think really he's 2024. He's cut, you know, we obviously know the quality he's kind of shown this season, how he's been one of Chelsea's best players. But I do think sort of in 2024 under so far anyway, his form and his performances had kind of dropped a bit, and really, you know, all that was to show is that sort of cameo, 25-minute cameo off the bench against Middlesbrough in the second leg when we're, you know, 4-0 up and the game's gone, there's no real pressure. But tonight he showed, you know, the levels he can show, you know, why he has been so trusted throughout the season, and some that has, you know, the levels that he has been missing in recent weeks. His game by numbers, 90% pass accuracy, 54 touches, 36 out of 40 passes completed, 5 out of 6 ground duels won, 2 out of 2 tackles won, 2 out of 2 dribbles completed, 2 key passes, 1 goal. And I mean, Harrison, and he was sort of playing, you know, pressing sort of him and Palmer point sort of like a front two, pressing from the front, sort of out of possession. I mean, I thought that was an outstanding performance from Conor Gallagher. Well, you know, and it was such a lovely, lovely opening goal, wasn't it? But just a word on Conor.
Yeah, he's a player I know a lot of the fan base do, but I admire him greatly. And you want those moments, and I think it's even better than the fact it was his birthday yesterday, so it's kind of a bit of a belated birthday present. The goal tonight will come kind of at the perfect time, but it's a bit, obviously, he's like, his kind of the way he runs and presses is always used, almost by some, uses kind of like a stick to bash him. But as I kind of touched on a moment ago, it's perfect for games and tactical setups like that when you need someone to cause a bit of havoc, a bit of chaos, a bit of indecision in the opposition defenders' minds when they are on the ball. And Gallagher, with his kind of terrier-like behaviour, is perfect for that. And he combined it with his stuff on the, off the ball as well tonight and as well. And it's just fantastic when he's playing like that, because he is such an asset to this Chelsea side. However often he is banded about in the media as being one they're constantly looking to sell, he will always put in these performances while still obviously not being the perfect, fully rounded, well-rounded player, and has those bad days, as you've kind of touched on since the turn of the year. But when he plays like this, and when he plays alongside the other two in the midfield, Enzo Fernandez and Moises Caicedo, like that, you can't argue that this is probably Chelsea's best three-man midfield at the moment. And there's a reason why Pochettino turns to it in every single game.
Yeah, Harrison, the second goal was scored by Nicholas Jackson. A lovely cross from Malo Gusto. Obviously nice for Gusto to bounce back. I thought he was, you know, just really good tonight. Just solid, you know, in a great, in an attacking sense. And it's great, you know, to know that we've got that, you know, when Reece isn't there, that he, you know, he really is stepping up to the plate a lot of the time and you know, helping fill that void. Paris and, you know, Harrison, so I guess a word on him. And also Nicholas Jackson, who obviously has a part to play in the first goal. Obviously, you know, takes off, you know, interesting position, sort of featuring more sort of out, almost sort of out left wing, you know, really at points during my game. But then he's, you know, in the right place at the right time to head home, which I feel like is his first headed goal for Chelsea. I could be wrong. I feel like a lot of his goals have sort of been in and around the box and sort of, you know, getting in sort of tap-ins or, you know, rebounds, etc. I feel like that's his first headed goal. I could be wrong. Someone might point that out to me. But Harrison, we also kind of see what Chelsea have been missing in this last month. So, you know, with Jackson away, AFCON, he comes back into the side. And I mean, again, he was just absolutely electric. And again, just and a word on him as well. And he's worked so hard as well, tracking back, getting, you know, making tackles as well. Like, it's a common theme when we watched it, but this Chelsea team just ran and ran and ran till they ran out of breath, really. But just a word on Gusto and Jackson, who obviously link up for that second goal.
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with Gusto. I think obviously his last act Sunday was the giving away of that penalty that kind of typified the whole day in performance. But he's still obviously a young lad, like, well, so many of this team are, but he's bounced back fantastically tonight and come back and dominated that right hand side. He was up and down that right hand side, like it was a 100-meter race at times for him today. And the perfect cross for the second goal, a couple of important blocks and interceptions elsewhere. You can't fault that. He's a bit rash at times defensively, but you do look at him and you think this is a very shrewd piece of business by Chelsea. Again, it's one of those players that aren't the big money, like Petrovic, like Palmer, that are delivering for Pochettino's side, whereas the others, maybe like Mudryk, for example, isn't constantly delivering, but cost probably triple if all the add-ons come in of Gusto, which is kind of mad when you think about it. But very good from him tonight. And then Jackson, he's an enigma in some ways to some fans, because obviously a lot of people look to him like, well, you need to be scoring us goals. And to be fair to him, I think that's now 9 or 10 in all competitions this season for him, which, I mean, for his first season in English football after kind of really only one purple patch as such for Villarreal last season, is fantastic. But he just brings so much energy, as you touched on, the runs off the ball, the movement, the stretching of the defence. And then tonight, popping up at the right place, right time. Perfect header as well, because I think they pointed out on commentary as well, it was slightly behind him. He's done really well to guide that into the far corner, kind of deflecting Gusto's crossing. And it's perfect for him on his kind of his first start back, because he hadn't really featured in the last couple of games. And I think Pochettino knows, and kind of you saw how he kind of didn't really fancy using Broya in the time he was gone. He knows he's got Jackson back, and it's such an asset to the team. The fact he looks better off the left, which then allows Pochettino to do whatever he wants in the middle with his tactical fluidity and stuff, and expose teams there and allow Jackson to kind of drift in and use his pace and guile in that manner. And full fair play to him again, like everyone else, up to the mark tonight and delivered fantastically.
Yeah, and I guess we can, you know, on that viewing tonight, we can see why Nicholas Jackson, I guess, originally did start out as a winger. Harrison, obviously, I think, you know, that front three again in general, like, were just so good. And like Noni Madueke, I think, like a word from, obviously, you know, has that really nice layoff for Connor's goal for the opener. And then he just has a moment in that game where he just goes like on a dribble, and he never looks like he's in full like control of a ball, but he somehow just like keeps at it, rinses the Villa play, and it ends up like leading for a chance for Palmer. But Martinez passes Palmer's away. His game by numbers: 96% pass accuracy, 41 touches, 25 out of 26 passes completed, 5 out of 9 ground juice, 1 free key passes, 3 out of 5 dribbles completed, 2 out of 3 tackles, 1 assist. I mean, yeah, Harrison, again, Noni, who'd been, you know, who struggled, I think, you know, she's obviously struggled at Anfield, you know, really did sort of struggle there. You know, but again, that was, you know, nice performance to get back on track. And as I said, he is a player, you know, while there are maybe still there may be concerns about the way Mudryk is developing, Noni Madueke, you know, been slowly, you know, since, yeah, really, you know, sort of, I said, I go back to since that, you know, cameo off the bench at Wolves, in general, has been putting in, you know, some really solid performances. And this, you know, yeah, sure, maybe he's definitely a game that suited him. But again, we kind of saw moments in that first leg as well, where he just didn't, you know, wasn't, can quite be clinical. But again, I mean, yeah, tonight he was a part of that front three that caused Villa so many problems, and, you know, part of the reason why Chelsea just looks so good and so fluid and so threatening in attack. Because, I mean, yeah, Chelsea, I said, just look ridiculous. I couldn't recognise this team.
Yeah, pace is such an asset in football. I mean, and Madueke has that in bucket loads, and I think you touched on that one kind of mental run he had at one point, and that's what kind of you want your wingers to be doing. You want them to be brave. You want to be taking on your men. And Sterling hasn't done so much in recent weeks. Maybe he's taken the safe option of keeping the ball going backwards and you lose that forward momentum. But Madueke tonight, maybe, obviously, we imagine a lot has been said behind the scenes from Pochettino and his staff in the aftermath of the last couple of weeks, and the whole team were fired up. But you could see Madueke had the bit between his teeth tonight. He had a point to prove. He was in there ahead of Sterling. He had a chance, and he was determined to take it, and take it he did. Fantastic performance. There was a chance he had early on where he had that really kind of promising strong run into the box, and the shot just kind of skewed off his foot, and I was a bit worried that it could dent his confidence and kind of put him back another couple of steps, but he kind of took it in his stride and built on that and used that as motivation. And if he can, again, if like Sterling early in the season when he was on song, if you can get your wingers in a confident mood, running at defenders, taking them on, beating their men and creating for their fellow attackers, it's a perfect formula for the rest of the team, because you're going to cause chaos, you're going to cause havoc in the opposition, you're going to create chances. And if you like tonight, where the finishing mode is on, you're going to score goals and win games of football.
Yeah, Harrison, let's talk about probably the man of the moment. Enzo Fernandez scores a third. It is a sensational free kick. I also just have to rate the homage to, you know, to Frank Lampard, you know, a fellow number eight. I said that, you know, the same ground, that end of the ground, and, you know, so pointing as well. Yeah, Harrison, I mean, one, I kind of would do, you know, him and Caicedo, amazing what happens when, you know, they're sort of actually together, there's not loads of space between them, but, you know, Enzo is deeper, etc. But it meant that he's now scored 6 goals for Chelsea. He's only scored more career goals for River Plate, 12. His last 3 goals for Chelsea have all been in the Cups, and a lot of his goals for Chelsea have been in the Cups. His game by numbers, 91% pass accuracy, 62 touches, 43 out of 47 passes completed, 5 out of 5 long balls completed, 3 ground duels won, 2 out of 3 tackles won, 1 goal. I mean, yeah, Harrison, I think that's probably up there with, you know, his performance against Liverpool on the opening day in terms of his Chelsea performances. Like, that was certainly one of his best. I mean, he was just absolutely outstanding. And, you know, I guess a word on him, a word on the free kick, and, you know, then I guess we'll kind of move it on as well to his midfield partner, Moises Caicedo, because it's amazing how good those two look when, you know, they're actually, you know, play together. There's not loads of space between them. They're both sort of, you know, quite close to each other. They can both just do their thing. Because I said, Enzo, you know, obviously has that part in the first goal as well, you know, right at the start. Just a word on all that.
You talk about kind of the doomsday scenarios that were thrown out in the media after the Wolves game, and Enzo was at the centre of it all. He was apparently, he'd had enough with Chelsea. He was off, that was it. And then obviously he's come out this evening with his agent. It was a load of nonsense. And then he goes and does that. I mean, you couldn't deliver a perfect message at a time when kind of the club and the fans needed it most. I think that free kick is sensational. It's one of those goals where you kind of, your jaw drops and you kind of just don't know what you're doing for a couple of seconds after, because you're not actually sure what's happened. But I saw him set up and I thought, you know, from that distance, it's going to have to be a hell of a strike to beat any keeper, let alone his international teammate, Martinez. But then it just goes, and like, okay, this is on target. It's going somewhere. And then the way it just kind of bounces straight back out in the net as well, it's perfect. The celebration was fantastic. It really made the goal what it was. And his whole performance tonight, he was really there, just kind of cajoling the players up, energising them, kind of really leading them on, which is what you need from your big name players in this side. He is still on the younger side in the footballing spectrum in terms of age, but in terms of experience, and what he's had. He's won a World Cup. He's got so much under his belt that is invaluable to this Chelsea team and what they need right now. And when he, as you say, when he's got Moises Caicedo alongside him, this is what the Chelsea hierarchy and Pochettino probably drew up on the whiteboard when they had Caicedo coming in. This is what they wanted to do, and they performed together perfectly tonight. There was that 1-2 in the first half in a very little tight situation that led to a nice little Chelsea move forward, and that's perfect. That's what you need your midfield pivots to do in games like that. Take the pressure off the defence, break the lines and get forward. Fantastic. Just please, 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 Pochettino, put them in those positions again, because Chelsea are 100 times better with them like that.
Indeed, indeed. Harrison, I kind of want to have a word for, you know, a couple of, again, like you said, we've touched on basically every player, you know, so far. That's just how good it was. I kind of want a word on De Zerzi, Badiashile and Ben Chilwell, and I guess Petrovic as well. I mean, Petrovic, again, you know, made, you know, important saves when need to, at times when Chelsea were potentially, you know, in the first half, you know, there was like a moment where Chelsea saw switch off at the end of the half, and, you know, Petrovic just makes the saves that he needed to. But Harrison, just what I thought, Ben Chilwell, that, you know, that was more like it from Chile. He'd had a couple of rough games against Liverpool and Wolves, but he was, you know, right on it tonight. De Zerzi with a crucial block at 3-0. He was pretty solid. And Badiashile, yeah, like maybe he had a bit of a shaky start to the game, but overall, I thought he grew into that game and was pretty confident and said, yeah. And then Petrovic, you know, I can't really reform. He has one scary moment where he sort of channels his inner Rob Sanchez and, you know, the distribution, but gets charged down, and maybe he'll be a bit disappointed with the goal he concedes. But again, I thought that was a really good night for him, commanding in his box, etc. I mean, yeah, it says a word, but, you know, the only starter who we've not really mentioned, you know, out of them is Cole Palmer, who had perhaps one of his more quieter games, but also we did see his effect, you know, in help leading the press. And yeah, maybe, you know, we didn't quite get the best of Cole Palmer tonight, but we certainly got the best out of probably the 10 other individuals on the pitch, didn't we?
Without a doubt. And I think that defence there, that's been the one big issue about, well, the whole season really, but especially last week, is that defensive structure and how open it's been on so many occasions. And teams, especially Wolves on Sunday, they ran riot down that left-hand side with Thiago Silva and Ben Chilwell. But Chilwell looked assured. He looked assured of his role, assured of what he needed to do and how he needed to defend. And I think a big part of that was the fact he had Nicholas Jackson tracking back and helping out. He got support from the winger on his side, which he maybe hasn't had so much in recent weeks. And probably the same on the flip side as well, with just having a bit of some support from Madueke. And that helps tenfold. It's kind of the old adage of you're forward to your first line of defence, and that's how it needs to be. You know, you start with your forwards and you work your way back in terms of your lines of defence. And then you've got De Zerzi and Badiashile in the middle. Obviously, a very successful pair when they were Monaco together. And probably one of the few times they've actually played together for Chelsea, because of all the injuries and Thiago Silva playing and whatnot and different formations and stuff. But De Zerzi, you could see what it meant to De Zerzi as well tonight. That block he made on the 6-yard line and the roar and the passion after. It was just good to see an assured, competent defensive performance where, apart from a mad 5 minutes midway through the second half and then a little wobble right at the end of the game in added time, Chelsea looked fine defensively tonight. And I don't think there's many times I've been able to say that after a game of football against a side like Aston Villa this season.
Indeed. Indeed, obviously, Harrison, there was, like, you know, a notable change to the starting 11. That was that Thiago Silva was out. Bel Silva did apologise after her tweet that we talked about on the show on Sunday. Her tweet said, "I'm sorry that my personal outburst as a passionate Chelsea fan has caused such an impact. I'm passionate about the team. I thrive on victories and I'm saddened by defeats. We all want the same thing, a winning team. Come on, Chelsea." Yeah, Bel, still, please don't do that again. You do have a habit of it with Timo and with Graham Potter as well. But, you know, Harrison, who knows, maybe her message all along was outing Thiago, saying, "Poch, he's the change you need to make." And obviously, Harrison, but, you know, without trying to rip into Reams, it did feel quite telling in all sense that when Sterling came on, it did sort of coincide with Chelsea looking a bit worse. And Chelsea sort of just, yeah, maybe looking the worst they did the game. And maybe to an extent, Silva, although, you know, I don't necessarily think that's more, I think that is probably, you know, less on Silva. But yeah, Harrison, you know, side point, I wait to see what happens, but we do have a nice gap till we next play. Obviously, we play on Monday night away at Crystal Palace, so there's about a five day gap. Obviously, Badiashile goes off, so who knows? Silva might be back in. But I guess my question is, would you like to basically see this team, you know, against Crystal Palace? Obviously, Crystal Palace will, you'd imagine, under Hodgson pose a different threat. It's, you know, they are less likely to attack us and we're perhaps less likely to have as much space. But, you know, I kind of feel, as to a man, like, it feels quite harsh to sort of drop really many of those. And I guess, you know, the only change is if needs be at times that, you know, Poch can make to that team is maybe Palmer doesn't play essentially and you just switch him and Jackson, and maybe that just is maybe the only tweak that this needed to be done. But, you know, looking forward, I mean, we'll have to see how serious Paddy Shield's injury and Caicedo, you know, maybe had or not, but he finished the, you know, he didn't have to come off. So hopefully that was nothing too serious. But would you like to maybe see this team certainly stick with this team moving forward, or certainly in the meantime, probably continue on without Thiago Silva and Raheem Sterling in the starting 11? It's perhaps the easier question for you to answer there.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Crystal Palace are going to kind of, as you touched on, going to pose a completely different threat. They're not going to have Michael Elise. I think Eze's out injured as well. I think Gray's injured as well. So they're missing some key names. They're not going to really want to play kind of football per se. They're going to probably be happy to sit in and try and hit Chelsea on the counter attack, which then completely different to Villa tonight. So it probably does ask for maybe a slightly different skill set. But then there is the part of me as well that says, well, Pochettino, you've trusted these 11 players tonight when, who knows where his job kind of was on the radar of getting sacked or not in the views of the hierarchy. He's trusted kind of those 11 players and they have delivered excellently for him. So, I mean, where possible, you stick with that same team for this next game, because otherwise you're probably sending a bit of a wrong message out as well to the squad, because where's the reward for putting in performance like that if you find yourself on the bench for the next game for someone who was dropped, who played in the two league games before? So it's obviously a little difficult balance to strike. Especially as you kind of say, Balotelli, unfortunately, looks like he might have to miss the game, which would mean Thiago Silva comes back in, which then does kind of change the way you defend, because Chelsea looks so much better, being able to have a higher defensive line today with a bit more pace in there and able to recover, which we saw on a couple of occasions today. But yeah, same team, really. I just don't see the need, because especially when you need a bit of continuity and players, give them regular minutes, regular roles in the team, kind of build an identity, build a shape, build a system that kind of produces repetitive performances and results on field. You keep that same team as best you can, especially the core of it. You don't change it. And if it goes wrong at Palace, then you look at it for the game after and change from there. But for Palace, use what you did tonight, use it to your strengths, and you should get 3 points there.
Yeah, indeed. Said Poch, you know, you made some bold calls tonight in a sense, and they very much, you know, they worked. And I think it's now on to you if you want to, you know, take this forward. And that's an opportunity as well to sort of just build that faith and that relationship with fans. If you continue this, you know, or, you know, it will no doubt be frustrating if you then kind of go back to type and we see Sterling at Crystal Palace, etc. It will probably be quite frustrating for the fans. But no, that was, you know, truly, truly big. And as I said, you know, this could be, I mean, you know, in Maurizio Pochettino's first season at Spurs, he credited a late come from behind win at Aston Villa, albeit that was in the league, as a turning point in his reign at Spurs. Maybe this can be a turning point potentially in his reign at Chelsea, but we'll have to wait and see. But that was certainly the best performance we've seen under Maurizio Pochettino so far. It was an absolute joy to watch. I honestly couldn't believe my eyes, and I had to double check that I was watching Chelsea. This was not some other team that was just wearing our colour shirt. It was truly, truly brilliant. As I said, it now sets up, you know, an FA Cup midweek tie against Leeds. It brings back a rivalry, you know, that means a lot for a certain generation. And it just, you know, gives Chelsea a great chance of progressing in the cup. And then, hey, get past Leeds, and then you're looking at being in an FA Cup quarter final, which is something to absolutely, absolutely love and get excited by. It. And as I said, it just gives life to Chelsea season. It felt with Wolves and Liverpool that the life was maybe starting to drain after an encouraging month, but you know, some, you know, the life, it's very some life still in this season. And I think it's now up to Chelsea and Poch to use tonight in a productive way and use it to build on. But no, it was absolutely huge. As I said, we basically talked about every single player in pretty glowing terms tonight. As I said, obviously, if we were to maybe be a bit critical of Poch, which sure, maybe we could do, maybe we question, you know, the subs, maybe we question, you know, because Chelsea did tire a bit late on. Could he have maybe made changes a little bit earlier? Maybe. Did we need to see Raheem Sterling come on for Chelsea tonight? You know, could it have been an opportunity to try and get some confidence into a Mykhailo Mudryk? I don't know. There's obviously, you've obviously got Ben Chilwell and Malo Gusto who have been out with injuries. You know, was there a point in that game where maybe they could have, you know, got some rest? Certainly one of the two got the rest. Obviously, there's, you know, there's the young left back, Samuel Smith, on the bench. I believe he's a left back anyway, who could have potentially come on maybe at some point for a debut. That would have been nice. But really, folks, we are kind of being very, you know, nitpicking at this point. You know, really, if I'm, you know, we're in a game where we're 3-0 up and I'm maybe moaning about, you know, 3-1 up at the time and moaning about the subs, when we've had it, we've had a very good night because nobody saw it being this comfortable beforehand. And you said we made a good Aston Villa side, a very good Aston Villa side look very, very ordinary. I said the most, without doubt, the most impressive win of a Pochettino era so far. And yeah, just a truly wonderful night. You know, the cup run continues. As said, it's been, yeah, just truly, truly glorious nights. And said it was a joy, an absolute joy to watch. And how, you know, we've not said that too often with Chelsea over the past couple of years. I said, I don't think there's really anything more to wrap up. So we will, you know, we will wrap up there. Harrison, it's been a pleasure. When I sent you this message last night, you said you were gonna pray. So you prayed good, and I'm pleased for you that your mini horrid run has come to an end. You obviously started off with two wins, Luton and Spurs, and then were brought back down to the brutal reality of Chelsea with a couple of stinkers of Man United away and Middlesbrough. And just when we're kind of thinking maybe all hope is lost, there comes Chelsea to pull out a performance we didn't know they had in them. And so yeah, that was truly, truly, truly lovely to have you back on to sort of break your little losing streak. Before you go, give people one last plug where they can find you and all your work. And you know, if they want to read an article about Maurizio Pochettino but who knows, has perhaps, you know, not aged well. Who knows? Maybe he saw that in time and he stuck that up on the dressing room beforehand and said, "This kid Harrison, he doesn't rate me. Prove to him, he's a mug." I don't know. Just give yourself one last plug.
Yeah, so I may have released an article about 8 hours before kickoff that said Pochettino isn't the right man for Chelsea anymore. But I love to be proved wrong. So if we could have more of the same, please, Pochettino, as obviously if you've read my article, you'll also be listening to this as well. So more of the same, please. But but thank you as always for having me on. And you can find me at HBurrage2 on Twitter and then also the Chelsea Social, where said article is as well.
Lovely, lovely stuff. Harrison's links will be in the description below. And hey, maybe he just needs to, you know, maybe it's like the Johnny Bairstow effect, you know, in the cricket. Maybe you just need to fire him up. Maybe we can get Harrison to write an article about Mudryk or something next. Then Mudryk will read that and he'll fire him up. Maybe Harrison is the secret ingredient to turning things around and motivating this group. Anyway, as for us, we're on Twitter or X at @ChelseaPod. We're on Instagram at @ChelseaPod. We're on all your usual podcast platform providers, Apple, Spotify, Google, etc. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, please feel free to leave a rating and review whenever I tweet the pod. Any likes and reposts go a long way. It does mean a lot. At the end of the day, we're just Chelsea fans talking about the one club we love. This is a podcast by fans, for the fans. And, you know, we just want to get out there to as many, many people as possible. And, you know, when we get to talk about tonight, you know, and we get to talk about this team and Poch in glowing terms, you know, when we, you know, talk about how well Poch got it right tonight, how well this team played. It's really nice. And it is a really fun, you know, kind of make you realize, yeah, doing the podcast is actually really, really fun. And it is worth, you know, recording it at this late time to do it for you guys, listeners. So yeah, whenever that's out, please, please enjoy. As I said, it's been a good night. We'll be back next week to look back at a game against Crystal Palace, where hopefully Chelsea continue their impressive winning run. And said after that, you know, there's some challenges ahead. There's, you know, Man City away. There's a certain League Cup final, and there's an FA Cup meeting, one for the ages against dirty Leeds. So that will certainly be a lot of fun. So yeah, have a good evening, everyone. Or when you're listening to this, good morning. Enjoy the rest of your days, and hopefully this puts a spring in your step to go about the rest of your days. Until the next episode, keep a blue flag flying high.
That was the best performance away from home since Madrid away 2022, easily. That was the reaction we wanted on Sunday. They played together. They played with heart. They played with passion. They played with a point to prove. Now please, God, do that again Monday.
Sports Social Podcast Network.